What do all these people have in common? Abraham Lincoln, Moses, Dr. Leroy Fourlines, Randall Wallace, Jeff Fisher, Vince Lombardi, William Wallace, Paul the Apostle, King David, Peter, the Apostle John, David McCullough, Phil Yancey, George Whitfield, Ernest Hemingway, Dave Ramsey, Dan Miller, Brennan Manning, Jeff Mosley, Frederick Buechner, Bill Hybels, Don Scurlock, Craig Barber, Bob Langford, Gary Chapman, Robert Shuler, Paula Foster, Zig Ziglar, Seth Godin, Michael Yankanelli, Sam Watson, G. Campbell Morgan, Dr. Robert Piccirilli, Robert Shuler, R.C. Sproul, George Washington, Dr. Adrian Rogers, Rick Warren, Dale Carnegie, Dr. George Hunter, Tom Landry, Mother Teresa, Spider-Man, Rocky, and Captain America. I could go on, but these 45 individuals have all been my mentors. They have been my teachers at close range. They have spoken into my life, either through the writings that they have left behind, the histories they have given me to read, or been my personal advisors. These are our mentors. We all need them. The problem with mentors is they must be enlisted. They must be asked. I don't know if you know this or not, but there are people in this room, trust me now, who are smarter than you are. Not many, but a few. There's some smart people in this room. I've seen some people here. There are some really smart people in this room, seriously. There are some people in this room who are in this room, not many, one or two, three or four, 10 or 12, who are wiser than you. They've been down the path a little bit longer than you. They got a little more, they walk with a little limp, but their limp looks like dancing, right? A few more scars than you are. There are people in this room who are more experienced than you. More experience at your profession, more experience at writing songs or writing books or painting paintings or teaching classes or whatever it is you aspire to do. Believe it or not, God is my witness, there are people in this room who are more accomplished than you and me. Smarter, wiser, more experienced, more accomplished, who are more than willing to pour into you all that has been poured into them. But you got to ask. You got to enlist these mentors. Paul said it this way to his young protege that he was mentoring. He says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust." Well, what a precious word. Entrust to reliable people. In other words, he says, Timothy, everything that I've poured into you, pour into others who will not just consume these things, but who will pass them on. Entrust them to reliable people who are also qualified to teach others. I really am sad. I almost get depressed every time a series comes to its close because I've lived with it for so long. It all feels like a person. But I'm really passionate about this idea of us as followers of Jesus developing the heart of teachers. We don't need any more preachers. God knows we don't need any more screamers. We don't need any more fun, damn minimalists to more damn than fun. We don't need to meet any more weird people who show up in God's name to do really nasty stuff. Can I hear an amen? What we need are some teachers. Some people with the heart of teachers, like these 45 people I just mentioned who have taken the time to pour into me, to love me, to care for me, to be generously transmitting into me all that they have learned. So that I too may pour into the lives of others. See, if you want to live a great life, if you want to live beyond your life, you're going to have to become a teacher. I live, I learn. I learn, I teach. I teach, I live forever. In my ministry, over the last 4 decades or so, I built a lot of buildings. I didn't think about it until the day that Paul and I were just talking about different places we've been, buildings we've built, and buildings we've completed and things. And you know, I never think about any of those buildings, honestly, ever. Before we moved here, we lived in Greenville, Tennessee. We had a beautiful, beautiful church. It was 80% glass. And outside, it was the mountains. And during the winter, there'd be snow on those mountains, and no one would listen to me. So I developed some of my shock techniques. No, I'm just stupid. I just say really dumb things. That was a gorgeous building, but you know what? Yay, God for it. It's still loving people and getting people to God in a godless place like Greenville, Tennessee. Amen? I moved to Nashville, and we took this little church, and this little building had been undone so long, they were going to just tear it down and make the concrete slab a parking lot. And we finished that. I'm thinking about all those things. They've been awesome, and they've been joyful, but you know what? They pale in comparison to the lives of people that we have been able to love and pour into, that we hear from all the time. You love me here. You took care of me here. You blessed me here. You helped me get to God. You helped me. I was in a church a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday night, and the parents came up to me with tears in their eyes. I thought maybe I'd done something wrong. I say cuss words sometimes. I don't mean to, and I'm sorry. I hurt your feelings. And they cried. They cried. I said, okay, what's the deal? Please, I'm in suspense. Am I going to get kicked or get cash? I don't know which it's going to be. Said, you got our son to God before he died of leukemia. Whew. Boy, that'll clear out your sinuses right there. And every time I hear that, every time it comes across, everything I've ever been through is all worth it. If you can pour, you can help set another person free, baby. If you can get them to God and fire them up and let them go do the damage. Amen. So I hope that you will passionately join me at the gathering, become a breeding ground for teachers. That whether you're a songwriter, whether you are a manager, whether you are a leader, an entrepreneur, whatever it is you do, that you would do it. Whether you sell real estate or sell insurance, that you would do it with the heart of a teacher, a culture maker, a experienced guide, a truth seeker, and a wise mentor. Take these 4 CDs. They're free. We give them away. Take them. Put them in your car CD. You have a multi-changer CD. I know you do. God is watching. Put them in 4 in there and just listen to them. And say, God, just put this stain my soul and my conscience with the importance of transferring and pouring into the life of other people and being a teacher. You see, all of us were born ignorant, right? And we've been given the privilege by God to spend all of our life just filling our soul and our heart up with truth and wisdom and experience, not just for the experience, but for the transfer and pour it into the lives of other people. One of the things that I've kind of gotten my fire lit about with this Dave Ramsey thing on the Great Recovery is, you know, common sense isn't all that common anymore. Have you noticed that? And I'm sorry. I hope you'll forgive me. I guess I'm old enough now that I just take for granted that everyone understands the basic ways God blesses and brings about prosperity. I just thought everybody understood that. Obviously, we don't. So what we want to do and what we're going to do in this next series, what Dave is doing, what literally... a couple of weeks ago when Dave did the launch, I think there were something like 55,000 church leaders across America. We ain't had 55,000 church leaders do anything together in my lifetime except criticize. Hello. I think if we could become teachers and mentors and pour in the lives of people, we could do something really, really important. You see, mentors make it possible for me to gain insights without having to make all the mistakes myself. There's some of us who say, man, I tell you what, I learned a lot from that. But do you want to have to go through everything there is? You want to get kicked in the head for every experience? Not me. I ain't got enough life to keep starting over. How about you? Man, it's great to start over. No, it's not. It sucks. It's hard. But if you learn the lesson, maybe you won't have to start over again, right? You've met people like that. Well, I've got 25-year experience in my industry. No, you don't. You got 2 years experience 12 and a half times. That'll soak in later, right? So the question is, what do mentors do? Okay? Someone said that mentors are a brain to pick, an ear to listen, and a push in the right direction. Have you ever heard the old, I guess it's a rhyme or a song when you were a kid, Old MacDonald had a farm? E-I-E-I-O. Do you know what an E-I-E-I-O is? That's a cuss word in Latin, by the way. E-I-E-I-O? I spent my summers on a farm. We never E-I'd once. I saw a couple of O's, but it wasn't the kind you want to see out there. No, what is it? So I mean, you don't get this in a Methodist church. You won't get this in a Baptist church. I want to give you what the E-I-E-I-O is. Huh? Yeah, seriously, it's free. E. Mentors educate us. Buy the truth. Do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. Proverbs 23. Buy the truth. You can. Every time you buy a book, you have bought literally hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of a person's life that they have concentrated on bringing and distilling something to you, the essence of that subject. And yet we brag about the fact that we don't read. Please just keep it to yourself. Obviously, we already know. I have a book group and we're reading right now. I mean, we're sophisticated, right? I mean, it's the people in this group like me. You know what we're reading? I'm embarrassed to admit it. How to Win Friends and Influence People. Have you ever read that book before? I mean, we read theology books, we read other stuff. I'm telling you, this book has rocked our world more than anyone in recent memory. You know why? Because it's just so blooming simple. It's just stuff we forget, isn't it? I mean, here's a guy, Dale Carnegie, who distilled these simple little principles, and that book has been blessing people for what, 50 years, 60 years, whatever it is. Unbelievable. Millions of people have been trained by that. That's what our mentors do. They educate us. They give us information. But they also, they inform us. And the difference between education and informing is giving you truth with a handle on it. Have you ever said, oh, I see it. I get that. That's insight to inform. Think about that word. It forms in you something new. It's not truth out there. It's not what, you know, my daddy used to say this. God bless daddy. Daddies say the dumbest things, you know. You got to love them because they're daddies, right? God will kill you if you don't. That's in the book, by the way. Some of you go, really? Seriously? Yep, it is. Sorry. We won't kill you. Just won't live a long time and we'll take your stuff. So, unless you're in debt and then somebody else will get it. But so daddy used to say, I'm a teenage boy. I have a car. I have an orange car. I have an orange car with a 327 with a Hurst shifter in the floor with headers. Get my point? Be careful. Seriously. Daddy, if I was going to be careful, I'd stay home. Be good. God bless you, Daddy. I'm sure that you really mean that, but it means nothing to me. Because when I'm a kid, I want to go have fun, right? Now, was he giving me good advice? Of course. Be careful. Do you want to kill yourself? No. You wake up dead, you're not going to have a good day. But it didn't inform my life because it didn't get in me to form my insight or my perspective. But mentors give us truth that informs our character, our perspective, our insight. We own this stuff. It is now ours. They have not just transmitted it, they have transferred it. Amen? I have to tell you, this is chasing this little rabbit here. All three of my adult daughters are engaged at the gathering. I can't tell you how thrilled that makes me because they now can make their own choices. I was in the presence of a pastor in this city whose name you would know. I'm not going to tell you what it is. When his 21-year-old daughter says, I can no longer go to your church because I have no respect for you. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't need to hear that. But I've never forgotten it. Amen? Because you know what? It's one thing to say, here's some truth I'm not living. Here's some truth I'm never going to live. But here's truth that I can share with you because I'm walking in it every day. I'm not trafficking in truths I'm not experiencing. I'm being honest. I'm engaging. I'm not making excuses. But I'm giving you truth that has informed my life. You can see it informing my life because I'm a mentor and I'm opened up to you. And now I'm hoping and praying that it will inform your life. EI, educate and inform. Here's the second EI, EIEIO, encourage. Mentors encourage us. Listen to this. This is humor, by the way. Just want to let you know. Because when you read the Bible, you don't expect any humor, right? Have any of you seen this week the viral video of this dude who's praying over here at the National Speedway? And I say, I knew you'd like, yeah, that's funny. Let's talk about that. You're boring. Thanks a lot. Somebody sent it to me. I think Debbie Seldon sent it to me. And here's this dude. Here's what's great about it. Now, I'm just going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think this dude just having fun. Right, don't you? He's praying for Sunoco and General Tires, and he's praying for every oil and additive product in the world. And then he's praying, oh, thank you, God, for my smoking hot wife. Now, that's a prayer I can get into. And then he says, in Jesus' name, boogity, boogity, boogity. Now, see, you guys think it's funny. There's a whole line of religious people this week has been crucifying him because that's just not proper. That's not serious. Jesus wouldn't have done that. Jesus made a funny all the time. Jesus had a sense of humor. You don't believe me? Look around you. For example, have you ever heard this? Jesus said, it is easier for a rich man to go to heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Ever heard that? That's in the Bible. If you've never heard it, for some of you, that's new news. I understand that. And I've heard sermons. Well, you know, the eye of the needle refers to a gate in the wall of Jerusalem, and it was a short gate, and so the camels had to get down on their knees and to get in the gate, and that means that a rich man must humble himself before God. Oh, that's a bunch of hooey. There was no camel gate. There was no... Jesus is saying, try to put a camel through a needle. Now, that don't make you laugh. Nothing will. It won't fit, Jesus. Of course it won't fit. What was he illustrating? The impossibility for anyone to get into heaven on the basis of their achievements. Simple, funny, not so much for us serious Christians. Here's another funny. Encourage one another daily as long as it's called. Well, it's going to always be called today. That's stupid, unless it's funny. And of course, it's meant to be funny. You don't have to encourage anyone on any day. It's not today. You don't have to encourage anyone tomorrow. You don't have to encourage anyone last week. You don't have to encourage anyone next Thursday. I have that effect on people. But when next Thursday gets here, what will we call it? Today. So what is the teaching? Everyone needs encouragement all the time. There is never a day that we get beyond needing of that a boy. There are people in this church, I want to tell you who they are. There's about three or four, about three constantly, every week since we've been going, gives me of that a boy. Now we laugh about, hey, that a boy is like, but you know what? I look forward to it. Isn't that silly? No, that's human. We're starving for affirmation. Why? That's a part of what it means to be a sinner, to be broken, to not feel that we're really loved as we are. And so we need mentors who don't just give us the truth, but put a handle on the truth so it can be informed in us, right? Not just stuff we've heard, and encourage us. To encourage us. A lot of people have gone further than they thought they could because someone else thought they could. I can't tell you how many times I quit school that my wife, Paula, said, go back, just do one more day. To how many times I've quit everything that my wife, Paula, I mean, if it weren't for my Paula, I'd be in a ditch somewhere growing moss. Somebody said, oh, isn't that sweet? No, it's the truth. And God would kill me if I lied about that part. I lie about other stuff, but not about that. Do you have a mentor in your life who encourages you? And here's the EI. EI is educate, inform, encourage, and inspire. Inspire. Some of my mentors have inspired me. Dr. Leroy Forlines was my first real theology professor, and he inspired me. You know what he gave me a hunger for? Truth. Some of my teachers inspired me. Some of the rest in that list I gave you have inspired me. Abraham Lincoln inspires me. He's born in Kentucky, by the way, for those of you in Illinois who think you're all that stuff. Maya Angelou said this, I've learned that people will forget what you said. They'll even forget what you did. But they will never forget how you made them feel. Amen. I know some people right now who made me feel like dirt. I know where they are and how they're doing. I drive in front of their house hoping to see a for sale sign because they've gone bankrupt. Can I hear an amen? No, I'm just lying about all that. I'm above that. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. You know what? I also know some people who have made me feel like I could do anything. And I've not forgotten them. People who stepped into my life and inspired me. Stood with me, stood beside me, cared for me, picked me up, loved me. I know a lot of pastors, and just to chase a little rabbit here, I know a lot of pastors who've been beat up and treated like dirt. I'm just not one of them. I've been so well loved for 40 years. Paul and I think about it sometimes, why have people been so good to us? Been so loving, so caring. I mean, whether it's college or seminary or graduate school or coming to Nashville to start a church or being in Greenville or being in Memphis. God, people good to you in Memphis, there must be a God in the universe. We even lived in Alabama and found good people. And that by itself is a miracle. 2 weeks in a row, by the way, I dissed Alabama. I hope y'all appreciate that. You know why? I think one of the reasons, I'm just telling you, I think one of the reasons is we have been open for people to speak into our lives. We wanted people who are smarter, better, further along to come in and say, this is how you can do it better. Have you considered this? We've gone to conferences and we've read books and we've realized that if God has given something in your life, then you have to pour it out in someone else's, don't you? Isn't this a part of the responsibility To not just, as Paul said to Timothy, reliable men who wouldn't just consume all this. I have people say, boy, I got through that divorce. And man, I tell you what, God has been good to me. And man, I'm married now. And man, I've learned so much. And this is great. And I'm praising God. And I don't, because I'm a nice guy. And I don't, I'm a chicken, basically. I want to say, well, who are you giving that away to? Man, I got through cancer. My wife and I went through men's. It's great. Now we've overcome it. And it's great. Okay, well, then who are you giving that away to? You get what I'm saying? Maybe some of the things that God gives us the strength to overcome should be things that we help other people overcome. Just an idea. Yeah. And one of the very things Jesus prayed for, we have never given him. Ever, and the church may never give to him. I'll be honest, the great recovery is the best thing I've seen come along for a long time, that we might at least come close. Jesus prayed this in John 17. Father, I pray that they might be one. We Christians in America divide up over, a game of checkers, we could form a new denomination. Instead of saying, how can I pour into you what has been poured into me? Outrage. Unless you think mentoring is for sissies, sometimes a mentor comes into your life and does all kind of hurt and says, get up off your butt. Get up, get dressed, get suited, let's go. Come on, you're not going to sit here and be a baby. Come on. Yeah, shut up, get up, get out, get on with it. Amen? Now, who's going to do that I would take that well? Very few people, right? Seriously. But is there anybody in your life, seriously, be honest, I'm telling you with all my heart and soul, is there anybody in your life that can say to you before you go on stage, you got a booger in your nose? Amen? Is there any dissenting voice in your life that you trust? You may have a lot of dissenting voices, but I mean, talking about someone, when they tell you, there are some people, if they come to me and they tell me something, I'm listening. You understand? I'm not responding. I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to sit down and shut up and listen. This is what mentors do. Sometimes they make us mad. Sometimes they say, you've got to stop this. I would have given anything to have that kind of influence in my brother's life when he lost it to alcoholism. It's when my brother went through his alcoholic phases and realized, I'm ashamed to admit that I talk a lot of people who struggle with addictions and now they're just weak. They just, But when I went through that, I realized, a lot of really good, sweet, kind people can get in the clutches of stuff and it can destroy them. And I got off my high horse about that time, and said, God, but for the grace of God, there go I. Amen? So sometimes we need our mentors to encourage us to say, listen, for what you've gone through and how you've, man, you're doing pretty good. Sometimes we need them to inspire us and say, listen, we'll, watch me. Sometimes we need them to outrage us and say, listen, you can't stay, get up, let's go, come on. E-I-E-I-O. You have a manual now for mentoring. You don't need a book. You don't need a seminar. You just need to find someone and say, listen, would you E-I-E-I-O me? Now, how do they do it? Let me give you this last little push and then we'll be done with this emphasis for a while. How do the mentors mentor me? This is out of Deuteronomy 11, it's in your outline. Be careful. Now again, when my daddy said to me, be careful, I'm like, daddy, what for? I'm bulletproof. I'm a teenage kid in a county seat town. with a cool-looking car, cash in my pocket. What could happen to me? Fill in the blank, right? But did I understand that? No. Did my friends die? Yep, they did. One summer, bunches of them. All because they did what I did, but they didn't get the result. Be careful. I'm going to tell you, when God says be careful, your ears ought to perk up. Be careful or you will be enticed, which means that better people than you have fallen into this trap. You'll be enticed to turn away from God and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you. Listen, you forsake God and God is going to be ticked. Yes, but I just believe in a loving God. He is going to be a loving God, but he is also a just God. And you mess with him and just say it. Let him fill in the blank. The problem with most of us is that we have been given the grace of God for so much of our sin and arrogance that we think this is going to go on forever, infinitum. And let me tell you, in the love of God, it ain't. Accounts will come due. That's why I'm a chicken. I'm a Christian. Jesus has paid my account. I got way too much debt with God to want to have to pay this on my own. Amen? I'm hidden in him. But when we talk about God's work in the world, there are consequences for disobeying our Creator, and there should be. He will shut up the heavens. It will not rain. The ground will not yield its produce. Sound like any place you know? You will soon perish from the good land. Sound like any place you know? Now here, listen to these verbs. Fix these words of mine in your heart. I thought that was just a good old Southern word. I'm fixing to. What are you doing? I'm fixing to go to church. Fixing to work on my car. God says, when you're fixing stuff, fix my words. Tie. There's another verb. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. There are people, Hasidic Jews, who actually took that literally and do it to this day. Teach them to your children. Talking about them, here's another verb, when you sit down at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up, write them on the door frames of your heart and on your gates so that your days and the days of your children may be what? Many in the land. Here is what mentors do. One, mentors say, I will do and you'll watch. All right, so I'm going to do what it is I'm trying to teach you to do or transmit or help you give this experience. And I'm going to teach you, for example, if you are a songwriter, can I use that example because we live in Nashville? Let me say this because I'm not trying to kiss up to anybody or anything like that. But songwriting's hard. Oh, my Lord. You think it's, well, achy, breaky heart, shimmy, shimmy, shake, what it is, this house that built me, and scatters in the sky, and this is hard stuff. Amen? Any songwriters here? None? Well, it's hard stuff. I'm just telling you right now. So, if you're going to learn how to be a great songwriter, you're going to have to write with songwriters better than you so you can get part of the, you can get credit. No, because you're going to learn your craft. It's called a craft for a reason. Amen? I mean, it could be anything. It could be starting a business. It could be anything. Songwriting means that this is a lifelong discipline. Crafting words, putting them together, transferring meaning, moving hearts. Remember what Maya Angelou said? It's not what we do. It's not what we say. It's how we make them feel. Have you ever had a song turn your mood inside out? Yes. It's a power of a well-written song. And when a song is done right, it represents literally, are you listening to me? Thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of commitment of the writer. That's why most people don't write good songs, because they want to get paid. You have to learn at some point in your life that there are some things you must do because this is who God has made you. And you do it. Writers write, leaders lead, teachers teach, songwriters write. I mean, managers, and this is who we are, right? And so when you're in a mentoring relationship, they say, watch me write a great song. And you learn from me as I write the bridge, as I write melodies, I do this and this, and you learn and you craft and you grow. Second, we do it together. That's the second step. Which means we may write a song together. I wrote my first song with Johnny Christopher many, many years ago when we first moved to Nashville. Anybody know Johnny Christopher? Really? Seriously? Have you ever heard the song, You Are Always on My Mind? Johnny wrote that song. He's been making a living off it ever since. Not just that, but several others. And we wrote a song. And it's about time. And it was amazing. Watch, he wrote this part, and I wrote that part, and he wrote this part. And man, I was being mentored by a great wordsmith. So mentors do it, and I watch. Sometimes we do it together. Then third, I then do it, and they watch. Right? Which means we're going to have time and presence. Which means we're going to have to be in each other's presence. We're going to have time for this relationship. So they do it, I watch, we do it together. I do it, they watch. And then when the mentoring relationship is really humming on high octane, they monitor. I do, they monitor and coach from a distance. Are you with me? This is how mentoring works. Now, let me close by asking you this question. Who are your mentors? Well, I don't have any. Get some. Get some as soon as you possibly can. Well, I don't know anybody. Well, you know what? That's your problem, isn't it? Now, let me just say this, and I'm going to say amen. The gathering is never going to be able to do for you what you must do for yourself. And that is extend yourself, open yourself up for friendship and connection with other people in this room. I can't do that for you. I have spent literally hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years hiring people and putting up programs to get that, to force people to do that, and it never worked. We have people right now, well, what's your small group program? You. Yeah, but that's a cop-out. No, it's not. Nothing else works. Until you wake up and realize God ain't going to do anything else in your life until you open yourself up for mentoring, loving, supportive relationships with other human beings, I can't help you. If it's more important for you to get in line with a Methodist at Shoney's than it is for you to make a connection with other people who could literally change your life, then I can't help you. But at least I've given you the information. I've awakened you to the need to have teachers and mentors and guides and truth seekers in your life. And they're out there. I've found them everywhere I've gone. But I've had to open my heart and get outside myself and face my insecurities. I know what you think. Well, nobody has any time for me. No, they don't, sad sack. But if you would come down off the cross, amen, come on, I know it's hard, but seriously, I've been there. I'm not telling you anything I've done myself. Come down off the cross, feel like you're worthy of being known and loved. Yeah, but if people really know me, they'll know what I've done, and they won't be surprised. You know what? Because they've probably done it too. Amen? We think each other further along than we are. We're not. We're all messed up. This is not just a byword. It's not a branding statement. You're messed up in a way the world has never seen before. That's what makes you so interesting. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these 4 weeks that we've had to just really focus our minds on this idea of not just being taught, as many of us have always been, but to dare to think of ourselves as teachers. That we have something to offer, something to say that's important and needs to be said, something to write and important that needs to be written, something to be shared that's important and needs to be received. I pray in Jesus' name that you would give us the courage and the confidence that though we are not as we should be, thank God Almighty, we are not what we once were. I pray that the grace of Jesus Christ and the mercy of God would bring us out of our shell, get us outside of ourselves, and find that some of the cures that we pray for are found in the lives of the people that we love well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Go get them. Thank you.